All you have. 1, 2, 3.
Yo, 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 what's up, man? It's your guy, DJ Swag 100, man, holding it down for Swag 100 Podcast. We live in the studio, Lady Alma, Miss International. I mean, Big Stepper, you know. Hey, I mean, we talking about sharks. This is shark of all sharks, you know what I'm saying? Well, of all wells, you know. Y'all know what we doing over here, man. We don't do nothing but talk to ghosts and future legends, man. Welcome to Goat Fives. Lady Alma, I appreciate you for being here.
I appreciate you for having me here. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, you like this diamond in the rough. You know, a lot of people know about you, but then some people don't know about you, you know. But the ones that do know about you, important, you know. And I think you're an amazing person because you from, hold on, I ain't gonna say that. You represent
right
Philadelphia,
right?
You know, to the fullest, but you got this cult following I ain't never seen before. You know, like some people in hip hop, they just got that cult following.
Yes.
You know, like you have a cult following, you know, and it's all ages, all races,
yes.
You know, and that's beautiful, you know what I'm saying, for me. And I just, you know, I asked you this before. We got a chance to talk before, and I asked you this before, but we want to do this for the people.
It's okay. Like,
where does that energy to come from or that connection that makes your music timeless? And I want to say ageless.
I want to say it's the elements and the people that I work with. You know, I think we all have this mindset of wanting to always reach out, and not just to our own, not just to my own age group, but, you know, when you're being authentic, you want to be able to reach your elders and reach your young people because they're our future, and then they're our past and our present, in a sense. Our elders is our present.
Right.
The young folk, they're our future. And so we need both of them. And so the folks that I work with, we have conversations, we talk. And, you know, we like to get to the bottom of something prior to creating. That's another reason why I do like to work in the studio with the individual and not so much sending things over line. I understand the distance sometimes may cause you to do that, but I don't want to get off the subject. The energy comes from conversations,
right,
and staying in tune and in touch with the people.
Right. Now, that's another thing about you. You're not an artist that get in the studio and then you sending it to a DJ and all that. You're in there with the actual DJ the same day, you with the producer, the engineer, you know, whatever you need is in that studio when you're creating it, you know. So what's that process like, you know, for you? Because that's something that's definitely different than a lot of other artists.
Well, one, I enjoy being in the studio because I do both. I came from analog world way before digital, and I was doing the tech work. I was recording artists and recording musicians on 2.5-inch reel to then move over on the other side as an artist. It's something that I've always loved to do. And so when you love something, it is, you will go above and beyond. And so that type of energy I bring to the studio. And the people also, like I said, individuals that I work with, we all have like the same mindset. And we have the same goals and we kind of like speak the same language. So it's a lot of energy.
Well, they say, you know, the first performance of a song is actually in the studio. But with you doing so many live performances, I want to ask you, you know, what's more of a moment for you, the stage or creating? Performing what you created or the creation process?
I think both. I like to do the creating, obviously. But then the best part is when you're able to take what you created and bring it to people who, you know, don't have any technical skill of music, but they know what they know and they know what they like.
They feel it.
And they feel it. And so the both for me is what I love, because it's like giving away your child, and they can either accept the child or reject the child. And I'm just so fortunate that, you know, a lot that the people really accept it.
You know, nobody ever told you this. I just wanted to tell you. I think that even if you don't know this, you have to be like the first artist. You was ahead of your time, because you've been putting out singles, not albums, projects, but you've been putting out singles since 97, 98.
Yes.
You know, and you know, today's game is about putting singles out. Yes. It's not about putting albums and all of that out. How do you feel knowing that you was like already a trailblazer? You've been doing this already, like, and now the music game is actually turning into this. Like, you know what I'm saying?
You know, it is funny that you said that, because I never even thought about that. I just knew I like creating and getting rid of it. And not in a bad way. You know how you get rid of stuff because it's just a clutter. And because I had so much in me that just being able to get rid of it. And so I never even thought of it, you know, as being what you just said. I never even thought about that. So I got to thank you for bringing that to my attention.
That's trailblazing.
Wow.
All right. So. Let's go back to 98, right?
Let's go back there.
All right, so I'm going to say your name. Okay. Then I want you to elaborate.
Okay.
King Brick.
Ah, my brother in music. He is responsible for the beginnings. Now, of course, it's my talent that got me here.
Of course.
But, you know, when we're speaking of him, he kind of is part of the foundation of who Lady Alma is. You know, he gave me my first opportunity to be on Wax. And from time to time, even now, he'll call and say, I need you for something. You know, so he's a brother in music. He's a good friend. He's a creator.
Right.
And he's my boy.
Now, you want to know something else that's amazing that we need to share with the world?
What's that?
Basically, you embrace music like you found your voice at the age of 3.
I didn't find my voice though at 3. I was singing.
You were singing at 3.
Yes. I found my voice, I want to say style wise. See, I'm going to start talking too much.
It's okay.
No, it's not.
Ladies
don't ever give out ages, but I will say early 20s is when I found my voice.
Right. Okay, early
20s. And I'm not too far from my early 20s. There.
So now, were you already performing and touring before you was 20 or around 20 is? You know,
because I did stuff in school. I went to Girard Academic Music Program. So we did things like travel.
Okay.
And in competitions and stuff of that nature. So I kind of was trained in school. So by the 20s, yeah, I was traveling, doing stuff with King Britt. He had a group called Silk 130.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go back so it'll make sense. He had a group called Silk 130, and we had did a remake of a classic called Last Night a DJ Saved My Life. That's what got us traveling. I was on Soul Train back then because of the song, and that's where my voice started. It developed and prepped in school, but by the 20s, early 20s, I found my style and my voice and what I wanted to do. Yeah.
So let me throw another name out
there. Okay.
When the funk hits the fan?
That's King Rick.
Right.
That's the song.
Right.
Yeah.
So is, let me ask you this about that. Now, would you say you ever thought that that song would be historic? But you on it. You know what I'm saying? The way it was created, you on it. You seen the Silk 130 being on the tour, you know, with them? Would you tour with them?
Yes.
Did you ever see it, like, to this day right now? It would be considered, like, one of the best Philly albums that ever came out.
What? That,
did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
That's number, it's placed at number 34 as one of the, PW put out that that's number 34 as Philadelphia, one of Philly's best albums of all time.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes.
That is amazing. Thank you for telling me that. So, I can answer that now. One, I didn't know that. Two, being a part of a work, because it wasn't just me on that album.
Right.
It was like a collective, yes. And I just feel honored and a little bit humble because, you know, you never know how people feel. And sometimes, like, for instance, you telling me that, I would have never known that. Because I don't always go back
and look for the
opposite. And look for things. Yeah, I really don't. Because I'm bad at rejection. I don't like the negative stuff. You know what I mean? So instead of almost being bombarded with that, or not even being bombarded, but just seeing it, I follow the love and stick with what feels good and what keeps me in a peaceful state of mind. I know that the whole world's not gonna love me and adore me. And I think having that being taught as a child to an adult with my mom, I understand that. But, you know, if I can avoid the negativity, that's what I'm gonna do. So I didn't know that, but being a part of a top album like that, it's humbling. And it's an honor.
So you never thought, like, this is going to be...
Not at all.
10 years down the line, this is going to be something amazing for culture.
Not at all.
So, take us to... You traveling overseas... You know, being from here and traveling overseas, you know, like, take us into that. Like, how did that start? About you start working with artists that's from overseas and then you're traveling overseas, you know, and then, you know, we got international lady album, you know?
Well, I want to say it's sort of kind of predestined because as a child, you know, I didn't understand the power of spoken word back then. As an adult, I do. And so, in retrospect, looking back then, I was speaking that. I would be looking at TV and be like, I'm going to be over there. Because I always been into music. And so, it was something that I just projected. And then, years later, to see it come into fruition. Because sometimes what you may speak may not happen right then and there.
Right.
Keyword for anyone in any business is patience. And at that time, as a child, it was not a big rush. I just knew that I would be there at some point in time. So now let's fast forward to as an adult. It just, again, was a humbling experience because I would sit back, be on these planes, and just say to myself, do you remember you spoke this? This is what you asked for. So again, another tidbit for the people that's watching, be careful what you ask for. Be specific in it. Because all I said was, I'm going to be there.
Right.
Didn't know how. I just said, then I'm going to be there. Fast forward to now, again, to be able to do it, I will say it one more time, is humbling. And my advice, especially to my people, is get a passport. See the world.
Right.
Learn it for yourself. Don't let the media dictate. Don't let anyone else dictate to you what something is like, because that's their experience. You want to have your own. So passport is the key to life. And being overseas and getting to perform my music to a whole nother genre of people and being received, humbling, exciting, encouraging.
Who were some of the first couple of people or people that you know can just always right off the bat remember as musicians and DJs or, you know, other bands that wanted to, you know, that embrace Lady Alma's, like, yo, we're going to play, we're going to record, you know?
Oh, it's a plethora of people. I want to say getting my start from support from the community, starting with King Britt and that crew of folk that used to hang out at Silk City, down at Pippin Spring Garden. And you had a bunch of people like Jeff Bradshaw, Jafar Baron, Trey and Vidal, which are major, major legends today. They, you know, award-winning
writers.
They work with Usher and Janet and, you know, a slew of people, but he had a community. We had a community. I had support from these cats, the Kings, and my manager, Tony. Before we started working together, you know, he enjoyed the music and believed in what I was doing.
Right.
You know, so James Poyser, you know, Tariq from the Roots, all these cats,
right,
all these people would support Jill and Ursula Rucker, who is Philadelphia's poet, you know, besides, of course, the godmother, Sonia Sanchez, but Ursula, you know, just a lot of people supported.
Like, just to hear you say godmother, you know, that's how people view you now. They view you, the godmother, you know, the queen, soulful music in general, you know, house, you know, you got this voice that is just like irresistible. You know, I feel like even if you hopped in another genre, you know, outside of house, which you probably have done, I just know people going to eat the track alive because it's your voice on the track, you know. When did you know you had that effect on people? Like, as soon as I touch this microphone or I get on this track, it's a go.
I still, to this day, don't ever realize that. It's just something that I love to do. And when I'm paired up with people that I enjoy being around personally, you know, it's folk can bring the best out of you. Like, they can bring the worst out of you.
Right.
They can bring the best out of you. And so I just try to pair myself and always be around good, positive energy.
Right.
And so whenever that happens, it's only because of all the elements that are involved. And I'm just, again, fortunate and blessed that that happens.
I'm going to say that's, I don't want to say crazy, but that's a wow that you don't even realize that's what your voice does. I'm going to give you a funny moment.
Okay.
We're doing a fleet DJ interview, you know, and we're playing the music.
Yeah.
And one by one, you see all the DJs rocking.
Yeah.
And then the camera went off. So everybody come back on like, hey, I had to get off the camera.
Right.
You know, I got a little emotional.
Yes.
I was crying. These are grown men, DJs. They on the Zoom, everybody was, they didn't want to see they didn't want nobody to see them tear up or... Like me, I was dancing the whole time. I'm like, man, I had to turn my camera off. I'm dancing a little too much, you know. But, you know, everybody hopped on and they just was emotional, you know. So you got to see that's an effect. And, you know, we had DJs from all over on the court.
Yes, yes.
You know, and these grown men, they all boop, 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 one by one, you know. They turning the cameras off and they all come back going like... It's a great song.
Yeah,
I like it. You know, we talking about that joy, hallelujah, yes. You know, and that's something you can see. People can hear the music, but you can see the effect that it has on people.
Yes.
That's amazing. That's when you say, I like to sit back and see people. I like to share it with the people. I get it off so I can share it with the people, you know. But you got to realize that's like it's a gift from God. The voice is a gift from God. You're healing people with your voice, even though you don't know it. You're healing people with your voice. You know, you got people from real hardcore rap backgrounds and rock and roll. And, you know, you got people that just straight gospel. And you got people that's straight partiers. Yeah. But everybody can embrace the Lady Alma track. Regardless on what genre, what lane is on, what tempo, what speed. If it's a Lady Alma track, be embracing it, you know? And I'll be walking on flowers every day if I was you, you know, just like, oh my.
You know, well, I know when people tell me things, but like to know it within, it's just, it's something that I just love to do. It's therapy for me, you know? I know that sometimes...
But your fans are genuine. You know what I mean? People don't got genuine fans.
Thank God for genuine fans. Seriously.
I think your fans would beat somebody up for you. You know what I mean? Like, hey, make sure Miss Lady, I'm cool over there, all right? But I've seen your fans. You got some diehard fans, and they cool.
I do, and know? I love them. I don't even call them fans. I call them fans.
Family. Okay.
Yeah. Because the fan is a prefix for fanatic.
Right.
You look up the definition of fanatic, it got crazy in there. And I don't see anybody that is enjoying what I'm giving. Crazy. And they could be, but I don't see it. And I you know, want them to feel comfortable. I think that's what it is. I try to make my people feel comfortable to be who they are when they're at my shows. When they're around me. Like, I don't need for you to have to put on because you're around me. I'm going to like you regardless. Now, I might not like the put on person. You might have one of the best personalities in the world. And because you want to put on, not you, but anybody, want to put on because of an individual, whereas that might not be who that person likes.
Right.
You might be totally a turnoff to them, but then they meet you again and you're just being yourself. And they'll come out and say, even sometimes, say, why you wasn't acting like that?
Yeah, what was this person last time?
Right.
You know, you was only acting snobby, or you was acting like, you know,
like,
you know.
So it's like, you know, I just try to make people feel comfortable to be themselves when they're around me. Because I'm going to be myself when I'm around you.
Yeah. I must ask you this. I need you to take yourself from our Lady Alma.
Okay.
Right?
It's just Alma now.
And then I want you to be the fan that's in the crowd waiting for Lady Alma to walk across the stage.
Okay.
You the biggest fan ever of Lady Alma. You're in the crowd waiting for Lady Alma.
Yes.
What's the songs you want to hear? Because you got a discography of 100 plus songs, 150, 160, 170 songs. So put yourself in the crowd and you there to see Lady Alma. What songs is you there to sing? And you want it, these is your songs. If you don't hear these songs, you're going to be a little ticked off.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, that's a good question. I don't know. Because I, you know, all my songs have a special thing to me.
Hey, well, you got 100 to choose. You got more than 100 to choose.
So it's almost like, which kid? It's almost like you're asking me right. which kid is better than the other. Right. It's, I don't know. I would want to hear. I would just want to hear what Lady M was going to give us.
Mm.
You know, if I was a fan, if I was just being like Emma, and I came to see Lady Alma, I just would want to see her do what she normally did. Because a lot of my music, I'm getting ready to speak in the dirt. A lot of my music feel good to me. And now, especially now, things that I have written in the past is for or prevalent for the now. And some of the things I wrote, they heal me.
Right.
You know, so I think whatever Lady Alma was coming out to do, I'll be down for the whole show. I would want to hear her, though, once. I would want to hear her sing this song called Count On Me that I had. But all of them are special. And so I will want to just to be out there and sing all her songs.
So with that being said, is it hard for you to choose a set list?
No. No, it's not. And I'll say the reason why. And he's off camera. He doesn't like to be on camera, but I will say this. My manager is very hands-on. So he helps to create those sets.
Okay.
And, but he's thinking as me. And when we have conversations, we think about the event. We think about who we're going to be performing for. You know, if it's young people, I want to do things that's going to keep them engaged. If it's, you know, the elders or our age, I'm going to do things to keep them engaged.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But for the most part, we come together and think of those things. But he's really a big brain.
Right.
He is a big brain for the Lady Alma.
Smooth and let's do.
Yep. Shout out to Mr. Tony Walker B. Allen. Yes. Yes. Yeah, we gonna clap.
Tony
Allen. That's right.
You call him Tone, though, all right? Y'all better call him Tone. Y'all get to say Tony. You better call him Tone.
That's right. Yes.
So, whoo, we talking over 20 years in the game.
Yes.
20 years in the game.
Yes.
So, that's over hundreds of performances.
Yes.
So, would this be hard to choose too? If you could choose one performance out of your whole 20 years that you'll never forget, whether it's bad or good, it's like, I'm never going to forget this performance, this show. It was hot or it was just cool. You know, which one is, you know, which one pop right up for you?
Okay. I will have to say it's an event in Chicago that's called the Chosen Few Picnic.
Mm.
It gains over 50,000 people. But you know, Chicago is a house town.
Oh, yeah.
So it gains over 50,000 people at this festival. That was the highlight for me, being in front of 50,000 people, having Chance the Rapper on the side, losing his mind, having Ed the Lover come up and say to me, welcome back to the game because we miss you. You are needed. And to meet the mayor, because she's a big house fan, have the White Sox to support you, although I am Philly all the way around.
Philadelphia
Eagles, Philadelphia 76ers,
yep.
Philadelphia Hockey,
Philly.
Flyers. Yep. I am Philly.
Same
but
here.
To have the White Sox support this particular event, that was a very special event for me. All of my events everything that I've ever been a part of. Even when I'm up in North Jersey, all my Jersey shows, my private shows, they are very special to me. But that particular event was very, very special.
Man, it sounds like you the type of... You got that crowd control when you perform. So, like, if you cry, the crowd might cry with you. So you try not to cry, so the crowd
absolutely,
won't cry.
Absolutely.
What show teared you up, and why did it tear you up?
My birthday show last year at World Cafe Live.
And yeah, we hear you got the cafe on lock.
I love World
anybody
Cafe
in
Live.
Philly, if anybody got World Cafe on lock, they said Lady Alma got it on lock.
No, you know who's coming up on that, though. And I got to give her a shout out. Her name is Carla Gamble.
Carla Gamble.
Look out for her, please.
Okay.
Just remember that.
Dot, we're going to have to check her out. Hey, my guy A-Dot in the back. Shout out Off Top TV Networks. Y'all back out. We're going to have to get...
Please,
Carla.
Check her out. Carla Gamble.
Carla Gamble. Shout out Carla Gamble.
She's moving up in the ranks, but yes, World Cafe Live believes in Lady Alma. They gave me a home during the pandemic when we weren't allowed. Well, not allowed. Yeah, we really weren't allowed.
There wasn't much going on. You're right.
And so me and Tone and myself, we were trying to figure out a way to keep our family engaged during that time. And so my brother Rich Medina, a very, very world-renowned DJ, he was doing these like online
episodes.
Twitch. Was on Twitch.
Okay.
Spinning. You know, keeping his...
Oh, you got his Twitch moves going on.
Yeah, he was keeping...
Shout out Twitch.
Rich Medina, shout out Twitch. and so he suggested, he said, y'all need to do something. And so we were noticing no artists were trying to do anything for real, for real. A lot of them were apprehensive about, you know, doing the online thing. And so we talked to World Cafe Live and they thought it was a great idea and we did it very safe. It was just the band and the camera crew and two people from their staff. But we tested prior to coming in and we just did our virtual shows to keep everybody engaged. And I think those were the best times. For me, being able to do a full production and have them engaged, have my people engaged. We wasn't. Twitch wasn't really giving.
No, I'm talking about
money
your fans.
Yet.
Your fans.
Yes,
the Twitch.
They were.
When I say
Cash App,
when I be naming the platforms, it don't be the platform. It be the people who's engaging on the platform.
Yes.
Platform like to play around with the money.
Platform
you need many people. This and I tell people all the time. They be like, you got these many. I said, listen, I guarantee you. 20% of my followers are buying things from what I do.
Dude,
on
that's right.
My platform.
That's
you
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So I know you was getting some Twitch money.
Yeah, I was getting Twitch money. I ain't gonna lie. We were able to pay everybody.
Amen. Right.
The band. Because I had my band with us.
Right.
We were able to pay the band. We were able to pay the camera people and everything.
Right.
You know, doing it. And I want to say thank you to my family because they do hold me down. I might not say thank you enough, but on your platform, I'm going to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And whatever she thanking you for, thank you. Because this the queen right here. We got to protect the queen, right? Yeah, you know. For real. I'm about to come be security. I'm about to come be security.
You're influential. And shout out to you, Swag. Seriously, because you said something to me earlier. You said, I don't just do something just so I can benefit from it. I do it so that you can benefit and he can benefit. And so that's why I perform.
Right.
I don't do it just to get paid. I actually can, I am employing people now. You know how good that make me feel?
What?
You know how good it makes me feel, sister?
When you go from doing something that you love and now what you're doing is actually helping other people.
To pay a light bill or a cell phone bill.
Well, all they got to do is support you. See, that's what they forget now. They forget. That's what they forget. They got to, my blessing is going to bless you by supporting me.
Right.
I'm supporting you by allowing you to support me. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You the artist. I was joking about the security thing, but just it could have been somebody. Now, they got a security job.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Now you went from not having no job, but now you're an employee security with somebody that actually got something that's going on. Or the hairdresser.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It don't even matter. You know what I'm saying?
You're doing your podcast. You're helping your man. He could be out in the street somewhere, but you're saving his life.
Right.
By giving him a space and time and an opportunity to show his gift.
Right.
So that's why I have to say thank you. Because you're helping to keep our black men alive.
Right.
And I applaud anyone who is about life.
Right. I appreciate that. I do want to say that since we're on this, though. I do want to limelight this because we don't limelight it enough.
Let's do it.
So, June 4th will be the anniversary of my 15-year-old son getting killed in Philadelphia. And so he died. This gun violence going on since the pandemic hit, right? So, it'll be the 2-year anniversary. We got shot down 13 times in West Philly. What we did right after that, you know about Dobbs on South?
Oh.
It's like a rock and roll.
Oh, yeah, on South Street. Yeah. Right across the street from the pizza shop.
So you know it's all about rock and roll.
Yes.
Well, we used the first ones to put hip-hop there in 30 years. We started putting hip-hop shows on South Street. And when I did, we had the kids to the point where their parents was coming to watch them perform, support their actual talent. But we kept kids from 16... So about, 16 to 21, that ratio. They was off the streets from 6 p.m. to 2 o'clock in the morning, and their parents was with
them.
You know what I'm saying? So it was like for 22 weeks in a row. So that's something I take like daily because I feel like music is that powerful that you can take people off the streets. And a lot of people don't know how close Philly is, the neighborhoods is. So we got North Philly, West Philly, South Philly. We got Upper Derby, people flying from Washington, coming to get an Airbnb. You know, it started getting big, so people from different states start coming in. And I would call somebody like you to come out, talk to the kids. Like, Lady Almond, whenever you're free, you know, at the show, they get to network with you, get to talk to you.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't know, this person might be able to open up for you or something because they do this type of music. You know, we was given opportunities. I was getting DJs from Shade 4-5 to come down and stuff like that. So it's like I'm trying to make sure that all my connects that I got can also contribute back to the youth. Because, like you said earlier,
they're our future.
They're our future.
And if they all dead, then what?
But they also need to know it's more than just rapping and singing. Podcast, you can hold the mic, you can be the camera guy. You can be the person that actually runs to the store and go get everything.
Yep.
So you can be the assistant. That's still a check. You don't have to, you can be the best assistant. You can be the assistant the whole industry know about, like, hey, and you the top paid one. You know, some of these people be making $100,000, $200,000 a year. So it's how you make yourself valuable at home. So that's what we try to teach the kids, you know, how to be valuable to each other or people that are around.
I love it. You know what? Tony, what's Maisie's company? Grand Agent. Is it Maisie? I want to also give a shout out to Philly Truth. Maisie, well, he was an MC, but now he's the head of that. Helping the young people to solve their conflicts through conversation.
That's great conflict resolution. You know, having knowledge yourself, I know that kings, warlords, mobsters, the men of men, however people want to put it, you
right.
know, people that is able to create a havoc situation, a war type or war-like situation, whether it's spiritual, physical, or mental, they understand this. Yes. The greatest wars are won through conversation before it gets physical.
That's right.
You know, if I can humble myself to agree and say, you know what, Miss Alma, hurt my feelings when you said this.
How about that?
And then you say, Sway, well, I didn't even know.
No, I hurt your feelings.
I hurt your feelings. See, I thought you knew, Miss Alma.
No, baby.
I didn't.
Look at that. We just broke ground right there. So that's why I had to, when you said that about what you're doing for the young people, and I already see it, that's why I had to shout out Graham, because he's doing the same thing. And no, he's not going through being a rapper and this, that, and the third. Although for me, music saved my life, you know, so that's why I take this avenue, because it's literally saved my life. Like, I'm talking.
Everybody that's around me, like, be around me, it's the same situation. Everybody got different reasons.
Right.
But the end goal is music actually saves their life.
Right.
And people don't, that's what I tell you, this is a culture. You gotta live it.
That's right.
When you start wanting this to be a business, you know, and I want to applaud you too, because I was about to say, when you take this being a business, you realize this is a lifestyle now. It's no stopping. The moment you stop, you gotta start back over.
Right.
Or you gotta devalue yourself. You probably build yourself up this high on your career. Don't mentally realize it. And then the moment you stop, you got to go back to 9 to 5, yeah, entry level, trying to, you know what I mean? So you might as well have kept going, or you got to pick that torch back up and go even more harder.
Right.
So I want to salute the fact that we found out that you ain't have a job since 97. And you've been feeding yourself off music for 24 years straight. You know, I got to salute you.
But you know, okay, now, because I don't want nobody think I did all 24 years.
Right.
10 years I took off.
Okay.
And I took care of my mom. And so I got paid to take care of her.
Right.
But yeah, music. And independently, too. Let's say that, because...
Independently, okay? All right.
Because a lot of people, you know, they get signed and they're, you know, now they belong to these companies and whatnot. I did this from the muscle.
And doing this from the muscle from day one.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, you... These international tours, these international trips,
all of it.
I mean, that's a lot of airtime, you know, flying. I'm talking about in the air. We ain't talking about radio.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
We talking about that type of airtime. We talking about the wings in the sky.
Yeah.
That's a lot of airtime.
It is. It's a lot of miles. And it's because of my gift. And, you know, here is something, also a tidbit for anybody that's in this business. You can get more with sugar than with vinegar. You don't have to be nasty,
right,
to get things. And that's especially after you make it.
We recently learned that it's more clean money than it is dirty money. It's like a whole bunch of untapped clean money out here that's like waiting to be found.
Yeah.
And it's just dirty money being circulated around, but it's a lot of free
clean
money out here.
And when you work for yourself, that's clean.
You're going to find that clean money when you work
that's
for yourself.
That's clean. Because we believe, and when I say we, I'm talking about my organization, the Lady Alma organization, we believe in following the love. Uh-huh. We don't even... You know, as we get older, you know, that I'm going to punch somebody out and all those things should be out your system.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so you only get what you put out. If you're putting out love, that's what you're going to get. If you're putting out clean, that's what you're going to get. And so that's our practices.
Okay. All right, we got to spice this up a little bit.
Uh-oh.
We got to spice it up a little bit. See, this would make Goop Wives Goop Vibes.
Yeah, yeah.
We got to spice it up a little bit. So, you know, we always do a part what we call fun facts.
Okay.
Right? It's only 9 fun facts, but I might do more than 9 with you, so.
Okay.
You know, we're going to do some fun facts, you know. And it's facts because it's your truth. It's not nobody else's truth.
That's right.
But it's your truth, you know. Well, I'm going to take it easy because you're the queen. Because you're the queen. But we're going to get some fun facts. All right.
All right.
So, Ask some questions, and it's a comparison, and you get to choose. You know, you can say A or B, or, you know. All right.
Okay.
That's cool.
I say A or B. Or,
right, right. Okay. You get to answer it, don't answer it, just, you don't know.
Okay.
You know, you can hold, you can say plead the fifth without saying plead the fifth.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
All right. So, what's your favorite foods in Philly since you're a Philly guy? You know, what's the favorite foods here in Philly?
You already know. The soft pretzel, the Philly cheesesteak, and Tasty Cakes.
That also, cheesesteak, soft pretzel, and the Tasty Cakes. Right.
I'm, right.
I mean, I know, but the people don't know this is what Lady Alma like.
Oh, no, Lady Alma don't eat beef, so she eats chicken cheesesteaks.
Okay, see what I'm saying? But right. What you get on it? You get a regular salt, pepper, ketchup, fried onions, mayo,
On my chicken cheesesteak, I get fried onions, I get a little mayo, and pepper.
And pepper, that's it.
Because I use my condiments at home.
Mm.
See, I like my fancy things.
Mm, you whip it up in the
crib. I know that the, you know, the
steak shop. You can't give us what you're putting on in the crazy secret.
No, it's like barbecue sauce, so I like spicy mustard. So some shops don't carry spicy mustard.
Right.
They carry the yellow mustard.
I'm not a Lady Alma secret, y'all.
I'm not a yellow mustard lover, so I use my condiment. Plus, I like to mix though. I'm
right now. Now, you've been in Philly for a minute. So, what was like your favorite? I don't know if I should say gelato or say ice cream. What was your favorite ice cream spot in Philly? You know?
I didn't have one, but when I was younger, my mom used to take me to Baskin and Robbins.
Baskin and Robbins? Yes. Okay, so y'all ain't never do like go to South Philly and go to this spot or
what's going on? Not really, because, you know, we lived in South Philly. Every place, you know.
Right.
I didn't, you know, like you say, I go to such and such for the gelato, I go to such and such. No, it was wherever my mom took me, and it became my staple.
It's one thing about Philly. We take pride in everything that we do. So,
yes,
you know, it's like the food be good because the people, they be wanting to, you to go say, hey, they got the best chicken down here. Or they got the best this. Right. And it's like, yeah, I can see that. Everybody did always have something that was great. But, you know, certain people had these spots.
Yeah.
They have no spots. You was like, whoever got it.
For a hoagie, though.
Mm.
Gooey Louie's. Because, see, Gooey Louie's didn't do chicken. They did steaks. But I could only get the hoagies. So Gooey Louie's had great hoagies because they put all that meat and stuff on it.
Okay, what was the Lady Alma in her prime? When you like in your prime, what was the super prime?
Okay.
The super prime. What was the hangout spots? You know.
Oh come on! When I was hanging out, I used to go to this Jamaican spot called Good World. That's what used to be on Baltimore, Woodland Avenue, because I used to like reggae a lot. And of course, I used to hang down at Silk City and what was that place on 4th and Queen? Where we used to say Tony owned it. But the Fluid, Club Fluid.
Mm.
Club Fluid, that was my spot. Monday night, Wednesday nights, Saturday nights, whenever they was open. I love hanging that Fluid.
Okay. See, I want to eat.
And Silk City.
So, which one was the best one for you, though? Like, because of the networking?
No, neither. Both were. Because everybody that hung at Silk City would flock on over to Fluid.
So, y'all was partying.
It was a community. Yeah, it was a community. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What would you say is the hardest thing that you faced inside of your career? When we talk them as far as exposure wise, you know, being exposed the way you want to be exposed versus, I don't know, you've never been with a label, but, you know, maybe other people may have wanted you to present yourself a certain type of way. it could have been musically, it could have been any type of way, you know.
Oh, okay, I never had that problem. I will say this. Because I've always been in this independent thing. I never had that problem, did I?
That's boss. That's boss.
Like, you gotta right look there. Like
that's
this.
That's boss talk.
I'm hard on myself.
Right.
You know, I know I'm a little thicker, so I'm not gonna come out with some outfits that is not conducive to my size.
Right. No, I even meant musically, you know, somebody probably wants you to carry chords or notes this way, and you know, y'all probably got
never been told what to sing.
So, because you know, there's such thing out here called ghostwriters, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And people,
I want one.
They get told this.
I would like to have a writer sometimes because after a while, it gets challenging. For me, I don't never get tired, though, of writing about love. I don't never get tired of writing about peace. I don't ever get tired about, you know, writing about solution and solving problems. That's what I like to write about.
Right.
And so I don't have anyone telling me, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that. You got people that say it. But those are naysayers. They're not the ones that's funding the projects, or they have no input like in that aspect. So I just let them talk. And then, you know, go like as a child, go one end, come out the other. If it doesn't apply to me, you do all the talking you want. I know what works for me. And so I'm hard on me. He's hard on me. But I would want him to be hard because he has an investment in this.
Right.
And his family.
Right.
And I know that he's coming from a place of wanting what's good for me. He wants me to be happy. So, Adam, don't come out in there. You know, you be tugging. Don't wear that if that makes you feel uncomfortable. Or even just me, if I look in the mirror or if I sing a certain way, I will feel, I don't like how that sounds.
Right.
I'll just keep doing it until it feels right.
Right.
So I don't have that problem. I don't have nobody telling me. Thank God. I don't, you know. Now, I can take direction, though. I'm not saying that I can't take direction. But if it's not positive direction, there's nothing to take.
Let's just say it's a young man, a young lady, they pursuing a career, they're independent like you. And we don't know where they stuck at, but they might be stuck somewhere. You know, if you had like this universal way of giving them some type of guidance in their career, no matter what level or where they stuck at, if you had like a universal gym to drop on them, what would it be?
Well, one, I would say assess the situation, because it could be someone that's holding you back. Something could be holding you from advancing. The type of material you might be doing might not fit you, because people might know who you are as a person and will sit and say, I can't get on board with that. So I would say do an assessment within self first, and then assess what's around you and stay educated. Always stay learning something. Don't feel like, because sometimes people reach a peak because they feel like they can't learn anything else. And I refuse to believe that you know, if you know everything, then we shouldn't have cancer. We shouldn't have COVID that just happened. And, you know, all these things. Just always try finding things to better yourself as an individual, as an artist. You know, always and always stay around creative and positive folk. You know, that's something I would say in a nutshell. Unless I knew,
right.
You know, and follow the love is the
That's the slogan.
You can't, listen, we trademarked that. It's trademarked now. Follow the love.
Follow the love. Y'all got to follow,
follow the love, follow people.
Follow the love. Follow the L-O-V-E.
You have to.
Love.
Why would you keep going back to something? You know, if people are constantly belittling you, why would you keep going back to that?
Mm-hmm.
You got to go where, you know, some, when you have people that are supporting you, they're there to elevate you.
And embrace.
And embrace. So if they're not elevating and embracing, you might have to cut them off.
Speaking of elevation.
Elevation?
I might say elevation, yeah. But elevation, you know, and positivity, you know, who was those influencers in your life that brought that, you know, early on? It could have been a musician, it could have been a parent, it could have been a little rookie from down the street when you was growing up, or Miss Sheila that used to walk you across the street, the crossing guard, you know, who was those influences early on for you that you feel as though, like, you know, sometimes I think back and that lesson or that conversation kind of molded me to the woman, you know, that I am today?
I would have to say my mother and my grandmother. Yeah. They were strong women. They worked for, you know, they worked and took care of their families. And they were great, great influences to watch as a child. Were they perfect? No, but who is? But they were great in what they did. My mom was a minister, and she really practiced what she preached. Like, she didn't be up in the pulpit and say this, that, and the third, and then came home and lived another life. What she did in the pulpit is what she did at home. My grandma was a healthcare worker. She was a nurse for half of my life, and she took care of children, but she took very good care. Doctors would pay my grandmother extra money out of their pocket to stay on, to stay extra hours. And she got it in her pay too. But they would physically give her money, beg her. The children would cry when she leave. And that, you know, made me look at them as women, because we as women are supposed to be gentle and da-da-da and quiet. And we are at times. But they were all of that, and they were strong. I never knew until later on. You know, my mom would spend all this money to make sure I had the best and would go to work and put cardboard in her shoes.
That's sacrifice. That's love. That's sacrifice.
My grandma would give me her last money for me to have a lunch that I desired.
Right.
I didn't have to have a turkey hoagie and chips and this, this, this. I could have ate the school lunch, or could have, you know, they make the lunch and send me off. But right. No, my grandmother wanted me to have that. And so I look at these two ladies and all the adversity that they had to deal with, and put out a product like me.
Beautiful product.
So those two women were very influential. And there are a lot of people throughout my life that were influential. I admire him a lot because of his skill in keeping things in order and the way he goes and research things. Like, I'll research things, but he research things.
Right.
So I'll say, yeah, I saw the room has got this, da, 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 da. He said, but did you see that the shower does this? And da, 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 da. That's him. I admire that. I admire his wife.
Your management got they run a tight ship.
I've got great management. I do. And so his qualities, I admire. Everybody that is in my camp is something about them. Now, speaking of my life in the now, right, and not growing up, I already told you who they were, but him, Robin. White.
It's shout out to Robin White.
Shout out to my Robin
OG,
White.
My OG, man. That's my OG right there.
Because Robin been in this game a long time and have, you know, he has, people don't always be nice to Robin, but Robin will still love him.
Got experience.
He's got
your heart.
Oh, and knowledge about this business. And so I admire his tenacity and his, when he believes in something,
he bet.
He believes in it wholeheartedly. And that goes beyond just loyalty. Those are the people that I admire. You know, I admire my term. She's taking care of her aunt right now, but she still is working. She's not slacked on none of her clients. I admire you. I admire E-Dot.
You appreciate it.
Seriously, it's because it's things that you guys are doing and, you know, hearing it and talking with you and having other people speak about you. I admire that. Because I believe in what you said. I believe that you do things, but not for your personal gain. I believe you do them to see others win. And so that's it. I admire that in an individual. I admire that in you as a Black man. And so I appreciate that. So you're on the list.
Thank you.
Of influencers in the
game. I appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Promised I wasn't going to have you for too long. You
know? It's so, okay.
You know, about a minute over a little bit, but this what I will. I want to do two things.
Yes.
One, I want to ask this for the audience that never knew you.
Yes.
Right? And they gonna know a little bit more of you now, and a little bit deeper though. You know, they get to know your type of cheese steaks,
yes.
And when you go, you know, when you what you do to it, when you get back to the house and all types right. of stuff. You know, we want them to get to know Lady Alma, but let's just say it's a person that never heard your music,
okay.
But they seen your picture. Now let's just say it's a person that heard your music, but they never seen your picture. In both scenarios. Out of your mouth, out of your thought process, what do you want them to feel, hear, and embrace? Whether they see your picture without hearing your music, like, you know, maybe a promotion and it's Lady Alma, or they're listening to the music but they didn't put a face with it yet, you know. What do you want yourself to represent in those scenarios, you know, like awesome, great, you know.
What I would want people to get from my music or scene is love, and that I have a love for people. I used to be high-headed and very quick-tempered, but in the passing of my mom, and taking care of her, it taught me to be considerate of others, patience. And these are the qualities that I would want people to get from me and from what I sing about, is that I love them. So when I say that, like, because I do that a lot, when I write posts or something, you'll see the heart. I mean that. I really do love the people. I love you guys because y'all opened up your heart and your minds and your time for space for me. And so I love you for that. I thank you guys for that. And that's what I would want people to feel from me. It is love, fun, peacefulness.
I tell you one thing, they hear your music. That's all they gonna feel. They gonna feel the love.
I want them to.
You know, you got one of those voices, as soon as they hear it, it's goosebumps. The hairs are sticking up. You know, it's that frequency that nobody, you know, really know about. You know, certain type of frequencies, it makes the body respond a certain type of way. Your voice has that frequency. It's a demanding, it's a godly sent voice that actually moves the room like a spirit swiping down the side of a room. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, regardless of any, like that people say the vibes or the vibrations, right. You know, the energy or whatever, you know, spirits, you know. It's in the room.
We know.
Lady Alma voice. Whether you're speaking or you're saying it, or it's coming from the music and the speakers, you know, you really create a aura, you know what I mean, that cannot be denied. And I highly appreciate having you, you know, on our platform today. So.
Well, again, I say thank you for having me because you could have been, you know, you could have did the format, the formatics, you know, but you showed me love and I felt that from the first conversation. So I don't feel any fakeness.
Right.
And when we were on the Zoom, I felt authenticity from you, from DJP, from all the people that was on. So me to you, thank you for giving me the opportunity to introduce myself and let those that don't know who I am become aware of me and, you know, become part of my fame.
Right. One more thing, because, you know, we want to let the people know.
Yes.
Where the music at, what's out already, and what's getting ready to come out, you know, just in case they haven't tapped in yet, you want them to tap in. So, you know, look at the camera right there and tell them folks where to pick you up at.
Well, you know who it is. It's your girl, Lady Alma. And if you're interested in any of my music, you can find me on Amazon, Tidal, iTunes, and all musical media platforms. And to find me on the social media, it's The Lady Alma. Instagram, The Lady Alma. Facebook, The Lady Alma. Twitter. And if you want to know further about The Lady, you can go on my website at www.theladyalma.com.
Yep. And I liked your website too. I was there checking out. I was like, when you talking about Ed Love, I was like, oh, I read that.
Yes.
And you know, you definitely a storm to be reckoned with. You know, and I really hope everybody take the time to get this story.
Yeah, I hope
you know,
so.
And we're gonna be live on all 29 podcast platforms, all Audible wise. So
happy
you know
for you.
You're going to be able to hear this Lady Alma story all different types of ways. And, you know, the video will be out real soon. So, you know, I can't wait to get you to come back again. We're going to go do a follow-up.
You know?
And let everybody know right now. Because even though they're going to pre-watch it, they're going to watch it. So then they'll be ready for it. Let everybody know that you're about to be performing it.
I was getting ready to tell you. Listen, family, I need you guys down at our Juneteenth. At the Cherry Street Pier, that is the 17th, is that correct? It's the 17th. On Delaware Avenue, it's a free entry. It's also our first annual Black Wine Tastings. So all of the wineries that will be there are Black owned. And that's $15. It's free to enter. But if you want to be a part of the wine tasting, you just give $15. And that's for a great cause. So please, if you're not doing anything, come on out on Saturday, June 17th from noon on out to the Cherry Street Pier. And so if you miss that, the next day I'll be up West Philly Stand Up. Uh-oh. I'll be up at 52nd Street near our Malcolm X Park.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm only doing the one performance, one song. I want you to think I'm doing a whole performance for television. Your girl's going to be on TV. So come on out, shake my hand, at least get a chance to meet who I am.
Check
the Malcolm X Park. The 18th of June, and that's Sunday, celebrating Juneteenth. And it's also Black Music Month.
Yep.
So happy Black Music Month to you.
Yeah, happy Black Music Month. Speaking of happy Black Music Month.
Yay!
Yeah, Freedom Thinker.
I was Freedom Theater, yeah.
Oh, yeah. A lot of our Black kings and queens came from there.
Yes,
they became game changers.
Yes, they did.
Yes. I see why you a game changer. Hey, you wasn't no joke, but Lady Alma, I really appreciate you for being up here one more time.
Thank you, baby. And, I appreciate you.
Family, you know.
Thank you. Likewise.
You want to let them know what songs is out right now as well?
Oh, yes. Right now I have a song out with my brother in music, DJ Rob Payne. It's called Love Right Now, and you can find that on Beat. Is that Beatport? On Beatport.
Oh, that means I can get it. I'm a DJ. I could go right to Beatport.
And Bandcamp for our tech savvy, computer savvy folk. Just go on there and listen to Love Right Now.
All you DJs, go to Beatport right now. Fleet DJs, Coalition DJs, Core DJs, go right now to Beatport and download
Love Right Now.
Right now. Not tomorrow.
But right now.
Right now. Not later. But right now.
Thank you, baby.
Hey, God.